I invite you now to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel lesson, which comes from the gospel according to John. And Jesus is speaking to the disciples. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for the gift of this day, for the time to remember the gift of your Holy Spirit and to pray that your Spirit would be present with us. And I ask, O Lord, this day that you would be in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name, you who truly are our rock and our Redeemer, our Savior and our friend. Amen. This week, it was hard for me to discern what I would focus on as I got ready to preach. Today, of course, liturgically, is the day of Pentecost, the day that we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit and the birthday of the church. It's also Aldersgate Sunday, when we celebrate the heritage that we have from John Wesley. Aldersgate, this day in 1738, was the day that John Wesley had his conversion experience. So I could have focused on John Wesley and our heritage. Or, since it's the middle of Memorial Day weekend, I could have focused on Memorial Day and this time of remembrance. So I couldn't figure out what it was that I would do. So I decided, rather than making a choice, I would connect the dots and accept the challenge of preaching on all three. So you'll probably be here till about 2 o'clock. You have no place to go, right? Actually, all three talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. All three help us to remember the action of the Holy Spirit and how we're called to celebrate that gift of the Spirit. Pentecost, as you know, and as you heard in the scripture from Acts, was that time when the disciples were waiting in the upper room. They had been told by Jesus at the ascension, which was 10 days prior to that baptism by the Holy Spirit, that they were to wait. They were to wait until they received that gift from God, that power from on high. So they were gathered together in that upper room waiting. And as in any significant experience in our lives, it's hard to put it into words. It's hard to know how to describe that event. So the author of Acts tells us that that event was something like the rush of a mighty wind, bringing power and enthusiasm into the lives of those disciples. It also was as if little tongues of fire danced on their heads, as if they were warmed by some kind of heavenly light. They were filled with that power. They were empowered. They were inspired. And they didn't quite have the words to describe that event. The Holy Spirit truly had washed over them and changed them. Changed them enough that they were empowered to go out into the streets and to share that joy that could not be contained. They went out into the streets and they began to share in a new voice. A new voice. A new voice that everyone could understand. A new voice that continued to share the good news, the proclamation of Jesus Christ. We hear in that scripture this morning that Linda read to us that Peter Peter, who had vehemently denied Christ three times, now has that bold courage to break through the clamor of the crowds to preach a powerful message. The Holy Spirit had taken him from that broken place to a place where he now had courage to share the good news of all that Jesus had done for the disciples, his life, his death, and his resurrection. They had so much joy and so much enthusiasm, so much of the Spirit of the Lord upon them, that the crowd, the skeptical crowd, thought that they must be drunk. And truly, they were intoxicated. They were intoxicated with that Holy Spirit that was a spirit of joy and life, grace and love. And they couldn't contain it. They had to share it. Peter reminds them of words from the prophet Joel, that there would come a day, surely there would be a day when God's Spirit would break in again. And at that moment, men and women, young and old, would prophesy. They would dream dreams. They would see and understand the transforming power of God. It would be a moment of clarity, a moment of understanding, a moment again of seeing the power of God. Peter says, this is the day. This is the moment. The Holy Spirit has broken in, and everything has changed. Everything has changed. We celebrate this day with the, not only remembering that Holy Spirit power that washed over the disciples, but we remember this day as the beginning of the Christian church. It was the beginning of the way, those who would follow Jesus, the beginning of the Christian movement that would spread from Jerusalem out into the known world. In fact, Peter's preaching that day made 300 people, or brought 300 people to the Lord. 300 people at least wanted to have what those disciples had. They wanted to have that power. They wanted to have that hope. They wanted to have that joy. They wanted the Holy Spirit, and thousands came to join them. It's not by accident that this happened on the Jewish festival of Pentecost. The Jewish festival of Pentecost was one of those pilgrimage festivals where people would come into Jerusalem by the thousands. So it was a worldwide audience that came to hear Peter and the disciples. They had gathered to bring the first fruits of the wheat festival. They had come to bring a bread offering. They had come also to remember and celebrate the gift of the Ten Commandments that Moses had received on Mount Sinai from God. It was sometimes called the Festival of Weeks because it was 50 days after Passover. So there was already this festive spirit in Jerusalem, men and women from all the known world gathered there. And when the Holy Spirit came upon those disciples, they were given that new voice. That new voice, even though they were Galileans, that every single person there could understand the proclamation, could receive the good news of Jesus Christ. Hearts, ears, and eyes were open to the power of God, and everything changed from that Pentecost moment on. For truly, we are the church today because of that Pentecost moment centuries ago. We celebrate the Holy Spirit, and we celebrate this gift of church. On May 24th, 1738, John Wesley had what we call his conversion experience, his Aldersgate experience. John Wesley, the morning of that day, was feeling rather despondent. John Wesley had not had the most successful career up to that point. He even wondered if he had any faith, and he was going through this terrible crisis of faith. He wasn't even sure what he believed anymore. He had gone as an Anglican missionary to the colonies. He had served in Georgia. He had mission to the Native Americans, which he really appreciated. That was a powerful time for him. But he got into a little trouble with the colonial government, especially the governor of Georgia. As the story goes, and it may just be a rumor, he was sent packing back to London because he excluded the governor's daughter from Holy Communion. And he excluded her from Holy Communion because she didn't return his romantic advances. So he got into a bit of hot water and was sent back home. It was on that trip back home to London on a ship through stormy waves and stormy days that he learned about the Moravians. The Moravians were on that ship, and they had a peace and a comfort and assurance that he didn't have. He admired their assurance of faith. He admired that even in a time of storms, that they could be people of peace, and they weren't frightened by the storms on that journey. And so he wanted that assurance, that faith. He wanted that gift that he too would know what the Moravians seemed to possess, but what seemed to be so elusive to him. So on that evening of May 24th, 1738, he reluctantly went to Aldersgate, where there was a Moravian preaching. And this is from his journals. And he writes, "Someone read from Luther's preface to the Epistle to Romans, and about 8:45 p.m., while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." John Wesley finally had that assurance when he felt his heart strangely warmed. And I would imagine that that was a powerful gift of the Holy Spirit. That was his Pentecost moment, when he realized that Christ had died for him, that Christ had forgiven his sins, that he too could have that assurance, that comfort, and that peace. The Holy Spirit then gave him a new enthusiasm for ministry. He no longer felt like he was a failure. He and his brother Charles, who also had a conversion experience around the same time, began what became the Methodist movement to revive the Anglican Church, to bring new life into what was a dying denomination. He brought a revival to London and to England. He reached out to God's children on the streets. And he brought a new sense, a new zeal for what it meant to be faithful. It was a Pentecostal movement, and out of that movement, that gift of the Spirit, the Methodist movement began, that became the Methodist Church, that is the foundation. It was the seeds of who we are today, the United Methodist Church. Through the Word and through the Exhorter, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, John Wesley's life was changed. And therefore, so was ours. The passage from Romans that Linda read for us this morning is a powerful example of the work of the Holy Spirit. How the Holy Spirit enters our lives, and no longer are we despondent, no longer are we passive, no longer are we dependent on anything but Christ. And the Holy Spirit then gives us that power, that courage, and hope. The Holy Spirit empowers us, and then we don't resign ourselves for things as they are. We don't think that we're stuck in a time of suffering. Truly, the Holy Spirit offers us optimism and hope and courage, reminds us that suffering is never the last word. Current reality for any of us or for the world may not be what God has longed for the world, but those of us who have the Holy Spirit with us, walking alongside us, we realize that what we now see, what we now experience, is not what God would hope for any one of us, not what God hopes for the world. Clayton Schmidt, writing on these verses from Romans, says this: "The return of Christ seemed imminent to Paul. It feels less so today. The groans of creation that he described continue in our time and perhaps even increase as pollution, overpopulation, and inequitable distribution of food and resources continue. The groans of believers also continue as we await a consummation of faith. If we tried to put those groans into words, we might articulate a long list of things we are dissatisfied with in our broken world. Any brief review of the current news will give concrete examples: global terrorism, wars raging around the world, sexual exploitation of women and children, modern-day slavery, oppressive regimes, gang crime, drug and alcohol abuse, marital and family distress, incurable diseases, pandemics. It is nearly impossible to state all of the problems to be met by people of faith. Perhaps the best we can do is groan and sigh and hope. If this is the place we find ourselves, Paul assures us that we are on the right track. We hope for what we have been promised in faith, but do not yet see. We pray, but often inarticulately, given the weight of our concerns. When they overwhelm us, the Spirit is there to carry our burdens for us, interceding with God on our behalf. The Spirit knows both what we need and what God's will is for us. What the Spirit does for us today is to bring our concerns and the will of God into harmony. The Spirit brings our lives in harmony with what God would will for our lives. The world truly is far from what God yearns for us. That assurance of faith may be missing for us, but we live in hope. The Holy Spirit helps us not only to endure, but to be optimistic and hopeful. People of hope, with the Holy Spirit with us, is what God intends for the church. Wesley claimed that hope, and he finally knew that assurance that the Holy Spirit was with him, that Christ had died for his sins, and that he could live in that hope with courage. This weekend, we pause to remember Memorial Day. Many of you might recall that Memorial Day used to be Decoration Day, the day when especially we would go to decorate the graves of our loved ones who have been lost. It's especially a day to remember those in the armed forces who have given their lives so that we might know the gift of freedom, that we might know peace and security. Decoration Day, Memorial Day, began after the Civil War, which was the bloodiest war in our U.S. history. More souls were lost in that war than any other conflict we've been a part of. And so there was a call to remember and to honor those who had given their lives. It was a second sort of Memorial Day, a second sort of All Saints Day, to remember those who had gone before. There's a variety of places that claim the first Memorial Day, Decoration Day celebration. But on May 5th, 1862, General John A. Logan, leader of an organization for Northern Civil War veterans, called for a nationwide day of remembrance later that month. The 30th of May, 1868 is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. The date of Decoration Day, as he called it, was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle. That May 30th date that began our celebration of Memorial Day was a reminder of the call to remember those who had given their all for others. And isn't that what Christ did? Christ gave his all for each of us. Christ laid down his life so that we might have life. Jesus, in his farewell discourse with the disciples, the Gospel of John that I read this morning, Jesus reminded them that he must leave. He must lay down his life. He must go back to God so that the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the one that would walk next to them, could come. The disciples did not want him to leave. They didn't want to hear that he must die. They didn't want to hear when he ascended that he must go back to God. But Jesus assures them that unless he goes, the Holy Spirit can't come. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to remember Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in us and reminds us that God's presence is with us at all times. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to walk in courage and to live in hope. Unless Jesus leaves, the Holy Spirit couldn't come. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, came so that we might be encouraged and empowered to be truth-telling witnesses, that those disciples and that us, that we wouldn't stay stuck in grief, but that we would move from grief to bold proclamation. And the Holy Spirit would come to teach us everything that we needed to know. That Holy Spirit continues to teach us about Christ, to teach us how to live. It connects the past with our future. Memorial Day is our opportunity to remember those who have gone before, and it's more than just a day to decorate graves of loved ones. It truly is a day to hear again their voices in our memories, to remember their deeds, to see what it was that how they shaped our very lives by their gifts, by their presence. It's a time to remember those who have gone before and then make choices about how we might live. The Spirit connects us with their spirit, so that we might know how best to emulate their lives, how best to live after their examples. Memorial Day is a day that calls us to remembrance, to remember, our loved ones who have gone before, but also to hear again their lives and to have their lives shared in our lives. My favorite Henry Nouwen quote comes from a little small book called The Living Reminder, Service and Prayer in Memory of Jesus Christ. And in this book, Nouwen writes, "To remember is not simply to look back at past events. More importantly, it is to bring these events into the present and celebrate them here and now. To remember is not simply to look back at past events. More importantly, it is to bring these events into the present and celebrate them here and now." That's what we do today. We just don't remember the past. We bring it into the present so that we might celebrate it. We celebrate Pentecost so that we might remember that the Holy Spirit is still with us today. And we pray that that Spirit would continue to empower us, that the Holy Spirit would inspire us so that we can boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We celebrate Aldersgate Day. We remember John Wesley's conversion. And we pray that we too, through the gift of the Spirit, would have the assurance and the hope and the promise that we too are saved through Jesus Christ, that we too could bring a revival into our community and into our church and into the denomination. And we celebrate today Memorial Day, not only to remember the past, but to bring it into the present so that we too might live as those who have gone before. Today we celebrate, today we remember, and especially we seek the Spirit's guidance that we too, here and now, would live in hope and boldly proclaim the good news of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.